Okay, good evening, everyone. Sorry about the whole scheduling, the whole when I was going to give this year, but hope you enjoyed your Hanukkah vacation. It's good to be back with the Chevra. Idea number one tonight that I wanted to speak about was, we know this week's Parsha, after 22 years, we have the great reunion between, the father-son reunion between Yaakov and Yosef. The Pasuk says in Perek Membav, Pasuk Choftes, Vayasor Yosef me Mirkavto, Vayal Likras Yisrael Aviv Goshna, Vayirah Lo Vayipol Tzavarav, Vayivkal Tzavarav Od. So Yosef saw, all of a sudden Yosef saw Yaakov, and it was just like, as you see in the famous movies, slow-mo, back and forth, they're both running to each other, coming to embrace them. And the hemshich of the pasuk is that he all of a sudden Yosef fell, on Yaakov's neck, and he just cried and he cried and he cried. Rashi says, "Vayari love Yosef mira el aviv." Yosef saw his father. Vayev got some arav, right? He cried a lot. That's pshat lashon harbe b'chia. And then Rashi notes, at the end of that Rashi, in Pasuk Chavtes, Avol Yaakov lo nafal al tzavar Yosef, velo nashko. Yaakov wasn't emotional. Yaakov didn't fall on the neck of Yosef, and nor did he kiss him. From Rabbi Seinu, why? Shehaya Korei Shema. Who's doing? Instead, he recited Kriya Shema. Obvious question. Why in the world was Yaakov reciting Kriya Shema? Now, after 22 years. 22 years of we know throughout Rashi and throughout the past couple parshas, it says that Yaakov was an Avelis the whole time. He didn't stop. He was constantly mourning over Yosef, mourning, and he was so sad. Nothing in the world was able to comfort him. So all of a sudden now, after 22 years, your first chance to hug, kiss your son, your favorite son, all of a sudden now, Kriya Shema, really, right now. It's almost like, you know, you want to tell like Yaakov, just like stop, like stop being frum. I remember I had a friend in a different yeshiva. It was after the middle of Shana Aleph. He really wanted to go Shana Bet. So when he came back from Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, his parents came to meet him in the airport. He got back towards the evening, and he was discussing with his rebbe and like what are good tactics to try to convince your parents for Shana Bet. But the first thing is that the rebbe told him was that you should just try to be a good son at least for Ben Isman. So the first thing, he got off the plane. His parents gave him a hug. Said, "How are you?" They embraced. Right after, he's like, I have to dive Marv right away. Find me the quickest Marv. At a certain point, it's like, chill. You don't have to be so frum. There's the first Indian of being a human being. When Yaakov, after 22 years, maybe you could hug him first, and then, I wasn't going to make Kriya Shema, maybe the Groz, Magen Avraham. No, it's simple. It's a Pella. Why in the world, what's Pshat and Chazal here, the fact that he said that all of a sudden he recited Kriya Shema? And even if and let's say apparently this Kriya Shema thing was so choshev and it was so a real Indian to say it. What's the trouble with Yosef? Why didn't Yosef say Kriya Shema? Either it should be one of these like emotional embracements that each one should hug the other one and kiss the other one, and they should have wept and have tears of joy after all these years. Or they should have both said Kriya Shema. So the Maharal explains that what's going on here is that when Yaakov was saying Kriya Shema, this was not your classic Kriya Shema. This is not your standard Kriya Shema in the morning trying to make Zman Tefillah, nor was this your Kriya Shema at night. This was not the average Kriya Shema. Rather, this was what you call a Kriya Shema of a tzaddik. This is the way in which a tzaddik would do what? That's what the Maharal asks. The Maharal explains that the way tzaddikim express their feelings, their emotions of avodas Hashem, it was through Kriya Shema. So the truth is, the whole time, Yaakov
he suddenly, you know, felt this this great overflow of joy, and the truth is on the inside, from a normal perspective, he was glowing with light. He was beaming with such radiance to see his son after 22 years. But the shaila is how do tzaddikim express themselves? Normal people after a while, it's normal. You would that was Yosef. He was away for 22 years. He ended up giving him a hug. Yaakov was on the side of Madrega. The only way he knew of expressing himself was expression through simcha. Why? Because he wanted to take HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said Kriya Shema as an expression of Hakaras HaTov and Avas Hashem. And this is a way of this is one way of expressing Avodas Hashem. We find another example in this parsha about another meeting after a long time between two very, very close people, and that's the famous reunion between two brothers, Yosef Atzadik and Binyamin. You know, in Perek Memhei, Pasuk Yudalid. The pasuk says also the same lashon. Va'ipol al tzavarei Binyamin achiv, va'yev, u'Binyamin bacha al tzavarav. This time it was both of them. Yosef cried on Binyamin's shoulders, and Binyamin also cried on Yosef's shoulders. So, what's pshat? You might think, out there at chat, it was one of these classic things. You're a normal human being. You cry. It's been a long time. They're very close brothers. Says Rashi. Va'ipol al tzavarei Binyamin achiv, va'yev. Al shnei mikdashos, they were crying for the two bebatim mikdashos. Shasin and Leos bechelko shabanyanim v'sovel lecharev. Yosef was crying for Binyamin. Why? Because in the area of Binyamin, there were going to be the two beis hamikdashes. The two batei hamikdash were going to be built there, and now they're going to be built there, they're also going to be destroyed. So it was almost like Yosef was also mourning there for Binyamin. He felt bad. Well, it's Binyamin crying for Yosef. Binyam says Rashi, Al Mishkan Shilo, Shasid Leos Mechelko Shel Yosef Esofa Lecharev. The Mishkan of Shilo, where we all were a couple weeks ago. That's in the area of where Shevet Yosef was at the time, and he knew there was Mishkan, and he had Ruach HaKodesh. Said what? It was going to be there, but you know what? It was also going to destroy. Same kasha over there. Two brothers after so many years. Hey, how you doing? You know, what exactly is pshat? Why did they focus when they embraced each other and they cried? Why did they focus on not seeing each other for so long? Rather, they were just crying all of a sudden on the future and not even necessarily on the past and not reflecting on the past. And the answer over there in that context of Steinman Zatzal brings down that their entire life. Was solely based on Ruchnius. So they were weeping over each other's suffering in Ruchnius. Each one of them, they were going to have an Aliyah in Ruchnius. Holy sites were going to be placed in where they lived, where their tribes were going to encamp. However, they also knew what was going to happen. And who else would say that as opposed to someone like Rav Steinman, his entire life was full of Ruchnius, lived in a run-down two-bedroom apartment for years, slept on the same mattress until he was on the same thin mattress that he got when he came all the way here from Europe right after the Holocaust till the final day he died. He never really used a backrest for his chair until he was maybe about 90 years old. But we see from these two ideas, these two stories, these two meetings, one between Yaakov and Yosef, and the other one between Yosef and Binyamin, such a message regarding Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem isn't just actions, isn't just being an Oved Hashem, isn't just doing Avodas Hashem. It's also a sense of expression of feeling. It's not just how are you an Eved Hashem or not? What do they really mean? Is it just that you learn shtak a couple star a day, you make minyan? No, it's also how do you feel? Do you generally feel like an Eved Hashem, or you're just performing? Let's say just work. Are you just performing just work as a regular Eved, just doing a job, or is it no? There's a certain expression. Sometimes those expressions of joy. Sometimes those are expressions of also of sadness. Because depending on the different aspects of Avodas Hashem demand different types of feelings from a person. we're not necessarily on that darga, on that madriga of the Avos, but at least we can sort of, you know, try to at least feel that sense of, let's say, Shivisi Hashem Negdi Summit. That right, the Shulchan Aruch, we know, opens up the first halacha. Always understanding that God's around you. If God's always around you, it's not just doing everything that God demands of us, it's also feeling that God's all, feeling that God's around us also. So Ad Kan, idea number one. Idea number, yeah. Oh, so that's the kash which I've been trying to figure out the entire week. It's a very good question. It's like, oh, right. I was the also Yosef HaTzadik? Was the Yosef HaTzadik? So
the fact that he, later on, he
heard you could say Yosef was just Lashitas, it was just so emotional that he was always going to cry. That could also be pshat, even though we know Yosef at Tzadik was a Tzadik, but after all, he wasn't one of the others, one of the ones that's a Gevaldik Ateretz from Elisha. Okay, idea number two, we know one of the most dramatic moments in all of Torah is when, in the beginning of this week's Parsha, Yehuda is pleading with Yosef at Tzadik. And all of a sudden, it just gets too heated, right? We know he kicks all of his men out, his entire entourage out of his inner chamber, and it's just him and the brothers. And that's where the famous statement of Ani Yosef Ahava Michai. After all these years, it's me. Major plot twist. And he kissed all of them. And when we know the pashup shot is that he wanted to do this alone, bitzina, as opposed to bitbahesia, in front of all these people, because again, it's a sense of that he didn't want to embarrass. He didn't want to embarrass the brothers. That, wow, look at me, Yosef, or as they say, tzafnas panach, that was what he was known as in Egypt. The second in command in all of Egypt. And you brothers, you literally threw me in the trash years ago. So I just wanted to highlight just the godless of Yosef. The fact that he could have killed them. And the pshat is, he may have been entitled to kill them. But like, it would have been normal. A normal sense of nekama. And yet he didn't. And not only that, he didn't just, let's say, take revenge on them. The way it looks in the way the pasuk describes it. When he starts to converse and calm down the brothers. Perek Mem Hei Pasuk Ches, the beginning of Shlishi. Pasuk says Viata, and now Lo Atem Shalachtem Osi Yehem Ki Elohim Is A Semini La Avla Parla Adonu Chobeso Moshe Klaris Mitzrayim. Don't feel bad, brothers. You really didn't send me down here. This was just all part of Hashem's plan. I was just Shluchei Derachmano. This wasn't your fault. He's such a gadol. Not only that, again, it's not funny that he didn't, you know, take revenge. It's also that he tried to make it so positive, that he tried to even convince them that, you know, it wasn't even your fault, even though Pashut obviously was. But his attitude and his sensitivity that he was so choshesh on. He could see he had such a great concern for the covenant of his brothers, the fact that again that he threw everyone out, and also even when they were bitsina, when it was him and the brothers, he also tried to, again, in the most positive way, not make them feel, you know, like garbage, exactly, and not taking the cum. So from here, obviously, Revolbi, right? I know our friend Warner Revolbi emphasizes again when we talk about Ava, when we talk about the Avos, when we talk about our ancestors, when we talk about our forefathers, the number one thing that we learn from them is what? Midos, their sensitivity, the fact that they care about one another. True, again, each one of them, we know they slipped up in their own way, but there are a lot of highlights in Sefer Bereishis that we know that shows that the Midos they had, that's the ultimate example. And you know, at least that's just such a chizik. At least I know for sure around this tkufa when we learn these parshas and Bereishis, such a time to try to you know, be mechazik in our own midos with one another. you know, Lavdavka, you know, we're going to be able to reach that Madrig as the Avos did. But it's actually a Mefurisha. At least the minimum we could do is try. Why? Because it's a Mefurisha Tanit of Elio. Tanit of Elio states in Perachav Hey, quote, Kol Echor Chayev Lomar Mosa Yagia Masi LeMaisa Avos. Everyone has to say to themselves. You have to tell yourself, when is it that my actions are gonna reach the level of those actions of our ancestors? True, we think about these personalities. These guys are what we call next level, right? These people are some people might say they're just not human, but the pshat is we have to. They're our role models. And those are people that we need to be striving for. And for sure in the area, of Midos, it can be hard. It can be hard. There's a lot of different things that go on in the world. But Midos, especially the need of sensitivity for one another, whether it be a friend, a chavrusa, a roommate, it's so important. So important because again, we're connected to that previous idea of being this Eved Hashem, you know, b'shleimus. You can have that benadam l'makom in the pismedrash, you know, with the feelings. But if you're not a benadam l'chaver, as they say, you know, off the court or outside the pismedrash, the Torah that a person learns has very, very little value. So that's just an idea to be mechazik in. And the final idea, the third and final idea that I wanted to speak about. Well, you've right. Yes, very good. That was the end of the second idea. The third idea. Earlier in the parsha, we speak about the meeting between Yosef and Yehuda, the famous encountering two great leaders. We speak from the generations, Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, two real leaders, different personalities, protagonists, antagonists, and what goes on the back and forth. Yehuda feels bad, you know. He said it's not going to be so pushy for Yaakov. He says, "Let Binyamin go, and I'll stay. I'll be the slave. Why? What exactly is the big taina of Yehuda that he has against Yosef?" Says in the beginning of Shani Perik, Mem Dalet Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayakir Oso Ki Ein Anar Vames. What's going to be the pshat? He says, Yosef, when we come back all the way to Yaakov. Well, they didn't know. He didn't know that obviously Yosef was really Yosef at the time. He said, "We come back to our father, Jacob, Yaakov, Yeshiva." She might say, "Yankee." What exactly is going to happen? He's going to see Einar, the youngest son, the little one, Yaakov. He's not there. What's going to happen? Kimes. He's going to die. Vames. What's pshat? He's going to die. Bigger question. Also, we're focused to who's going to die. We said. Right, we're speaking about the father, right? Why? Because Rashi tells us, Aviv meets Rachel, where Yaakov's going to die from that pain, right? Lost Rachel, that was his favorite wife. He thinks he lost Yosef, who's his favorite son, and his second favorite son was from Rachel, was Binyamin. That was his last one. That was his last lifeline. And all of a sudden, the brothers would come up the mountain as they get closer to the house. Yaakov would be looking out there, and all of a sudden. There would be no Binyamin. Wouldn't be able to handle it. So he would die from that. So Yehuda was concerned about his father. Says Rabbi Nachum Mendel Mikotsk. Asks, actually, the Kotzker. That's all? He was only concerned about the death and the pain, the anguish of Yaakov? What about, didn't Binyamin have a wife? Didn't Binyamin have 10 children? What about them? How are they going to survive? Where are they going to be? Yisomim and Almana? How is an Almana? Did Yehuda have any? Did Yehuda care about her? So, on a Pasha level, the Sforno answers Kipshuto. Yehuda only cared really about in terms of what Yaakov was going to think. Why? Because Yaakov was because he was going to be the only one that was going to blame them. Whatever. I guess time would move on between Binyamin's family. But Yaakov would say, I can't believe this. You guys said that we should bring Binyamin should go down, and it's on you. And they were not ready to face Yaakov like that. So that's the reason why they were concerned about Yaakov. That's why Yehuda was concerned about Yaakov. The Magen Midumna, the famous Dumna Magen, says the truth is Yaakov is unique. Yaakov, the truth is, He would have been macabre the whole story. Because what happened? Binyamin stole. Yaakov was an Ish Emes. True, he loved Binyamin. But the pshat is that he found out that his son stole, and Mi'ikar Adin, he was supposed to go to jail according to the law of Dina, let's say Dina, the Machusei Dina. That would be the pshat. And you know it? It would be totally fine. However, he would see them from afar, and he wouldn't see Binyamin. And before even, let's say, Yehuda or any of the brothers would be able to even tell Yaakov, to even describe, wait, Yaakov, you know what? It's actually not that bad. He actually stole, so whatever. Yaakov, the fact that the moment he wouldn't have seen Binyamin, he would have dropped dead. However, the Kotzker answers his own question. There's a whole separate mahalach. He says, from here, we learn a bigger yesod. He says that the suffering of he says that the pain of a parent over the suffering of a child is much more severe than the pain of a child over the suffering of a parent. What does that mean? In psychology, there's a famous theory in psychology that the death of a child is much more severe than the death of a parent. The death of a child is the worst possible thing. And Yaakov was going to see all of a sudden no Binyamin. That would have been so severe. Would have been so he would have numbed up and he just would have dropped dead on the spot. Supposed to the other way around. Again, it's very sad when a child loses a parent, but that's just the way life works. I mean, some people are, you know, like, unfortunate. Some people lose parents at a younger age, but at a certain point, you know, people get old, people get sick. It's just the way the world works. You know, that's just the normal way. As opposed to, let's say, when a parent loses a child, especially a child at a young age, it's such a. It's both just in terms of mitzias, and also it's been clinically proven also. So too here, I wanted to add also my own idea that this happens to be also what's going on bizmanenu nowadays by us. Even though we're here in Eretz Yisrael, right now we're in the depths of the cheshkat hagalut. We're right now in the darkness of exile. However, the Shechina is here. The Shechina is right now in Galus. However, though, being that right now we're in the cheshkas hagalus, it's too dark. Sometimes, you know, the Shechina, it's not so clear to us. It's not so clear. These ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes we're looking for Hashem, we just can't find it. Why? Because it's just so dark here in the period of Galus. Right? We have no Beis HaMikdash now. We have no Urim V'tumim. So things are this. So the revelations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Hashras HaShechina is not so clear. It's there, but we just can't see it. So, you know, we're aching over it. We have such pain. But the pshat is, we're the children. We have so much pain, but the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really suffering more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's waiting for us to find him. It's dark. He knows that that's just the mitzias in the world that we're at. Right now we're in the cheshkas hagalus. And there is no Beis HaMikdash. However, what? God's also, he's also crying on the inside. He wants to know, where are my kids? Come find me. I know it's hard, but please. So he's also even. So that's just an idea in terms of the cheshkas hagalus for us also. That's just the yesod that we have to. We as Bnei Torah need to just start opening our eyes more. Open our eyes. Start searching for the kedusha. It's there. It's dark outside. In a metaphorical way, but it's there. You just have to. Sometimes just look a little deeper. And the metaphor is also so pushed around this time. It would have been much more geschmack if we would have said it earlier in the week. But it's almost like, you know, we're sort of fading away from Hanukkah, and sort of you might think that all those candles after Zos Hanukkah, eight candles, slowly the lights you know start to flicker out. And, you know, you look by all those menorahs. All of a sudden on that eighth night, it's all lit up there. And all of a sudden after that last candle, that last menorah that's lit, we're back to the darkness. Let's try at least to take some of that light. Even though it might have blown out, but there's still at least some of that flickering. A flicker in the air. from the experience of the Kiddush of Hanukkah, from the different ideas, different exposures we've had, to just hold on to that little, use that light and take it with us to carry, you know, help us carry ourselves a little more and more to try to uncover the Kiddusha, to try to uncover, you know, Hashraz Hashem, try to uncover Hashem, and ultimately, you know, bring the Geula, bring the Yerviyah.
Amen.